The first guest of the week is Dr. Thomas Groom, professor of theology and religious education at Boston College. His op-ed piece in Sunday a week ago's New York Times has created quite a firestorm. If you read yesterday's New York Times, all the letters were from Professor Groom, most in support of his opinion about why Democrats are losing the Catholic vote in national elections, particularly in the key states where Hillary Clinton lost by close margins to Donald Trump, and it enabled Mr. Trump to win the election despite losing the overall vote by about 3 million votes. Good morning, Thomas Groom.
Good morning. Good morning, Jim. Happy to be with you.
Well, Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump
by 20. There's a strong music in the chat. Sorry to interrupt. There's a strong music background.
Okay. We'll see if we can get rid of that. And I'm not sure where it's coming from, but I'm glad you told us. In fact, I could hear it too. 877-217-5757. Is that better, Professor Groom?
That's fine, Jim.
Okay.
Thank you.
The vote in the November election of November 8th, Hillary Clinton lost the white Catholic vote by 23 percentage points to Donald Trump. You think you know primarily how that happened. What was the biggest culprit for Secretary Clinton and her bid to become president in her race against Donald Trump among Catholic voters?
Well, it would be simplistic, Jim, to say there was one particular issue. There was only one issue. There were many issues, you know, that now President Trump promised, you know, to restore manufacturing jobs and to be tough on terrorism and all kinds of other issues. But I think that the tipping point for many Catholics, for the swing vote Catholics, so there's probably many Catholics who always vote Democrat, many Catholics always vote Republican, but I would say there's 8 or 10% swing votes in the Catholic community, and especially in the swing states. Again, the blue states will typically vote Democrat, the red states typically vote Republican, but in the swing states, in Pennsylvania and Florida and Michigan, Wisconsin, the swing vote in the swing states is the Catholic vote, typically. And so it's a very subtle thing. I mean, she lost, Michigan, I believe. She lost by less than 1%, 0.03%. And it has a large Catholic population. So that even a fraction of Catholic voters to swing away from her to Trump would swing the election. So I think, and I have no empirical evidence of this, but I have lots of anecdotal evidence, people who spoke to me, and I'll come back to that in a moment about it all. I think the abortion issue was a tipping point. 80% of Catholics in this country don't want to make abortion a criminal act again. They don't want to criminalize it. On the other hand, most of our country, 60% at least, and probably more than 60% of Catholics, don't want abortion after the 21st month. A week, rather, late-term abortion or whatever they might be called. So we're very troubled and conflicted, and yet about the issue as a country and as a faith community within the Catholic context, our Catholic bishops have told us that we don't need to be a single issue. We don't need to be single issue voters. We may not vote for a candidate because he or she is in favor of abortion, but we can vote for them in spite of the fact that they favor abortion, if for other good reasons, as it were. So, in other words, we're all called to prudential judgment. And I think emotionally, for many more traditional Catholics like myself, the abortion issue is a tipping point. And if I could, for a moment, go on a moment longer, the third debate, when Hillary was asked about it, the Secretary Clinton, in many ways, she just came out and said it was a woman's right to choose, and she supported Roe v. Wade, which in a sense was treating it as a purely legal question, a legal right. It's a deeply spiritual, moral question for people as well. Now, she knows that, and she'd said that very often, but unfortunately, she didn't say it on that particular occasion. Meanwhile, Donald Trump came back and talked about ripping babies out of a mother's womb on the last day of the ninth month and killing it. And instead of coming back and saying that's a total caricature of my position, in a sense, she didn't challenge the crazy depiction that he had made. And as a result, I just gasped. I was watching it with a friend and a very astute political observer, I might add, and he turned to me and he said, well, there goes 5 million votes. She just lost 5 million votes in her response. And the unfortunate thing is that I think Democrats are more likely to decrease the number of abortions in our country than Republicans, because good social services decrease the number of abortions. Abortion rate in this country has dropped 22% under President Obama. It'll more than likely go back up now because Trump is taking away aids to birth control and all kinds of things. If he succeeds in destroying the Affordable Care Act, the abortion rate in this country will skyrocket. So, in a sense, she underrepresented her position and could have made a far stronger case. But as a result, I think she lost that fraction of Catholic votes in the swing states and lost the presidency.
Your number again is 877-217-5757, toll free for Dr. Thomas Groom, 40 years a professor at Boston College. And to put it in perspective, he lives in the most Catholic state in America. Massachusetts is 44% Roman Catholic. Louisiana is one of the leading states at 30%. But the three states where Hillary Clinton lost the election, the ones that had gone to Democrats every year since 1988, they were all heavily Catholic as well. The national population is 22%. Michigan is 23% Roman Catholic. Wisconsin, 29%. And Pennsylvania, 29%. In yesterday's New York Times, a plethora of responses to Professor Groom's column, and one from Frank Riley and Floyd's Knobs, reads, Thomas Groom is far too timid in his admonition for Democrats to appear more pro-life. In fact, it should be easy to outflank Republicans on the pro-life issue, all while maintaining women's legal right to choose. The Republican strategy to obstruct and criminalize abortion by overturning Roe v. Wade simply won't work. Women will travel to states where it remains legal, and as they do, now in states that enforce restrictive targeted regulation of abortion provider laws, will resort to the exploding black market for abortion drugs from Mexico, Canada, and online pharmacies. So this issue has relevance all over the country. It has for many years, since Roe v. Wade became the law of the land in 1973. And you believe that it may have swung the election. Is it that pertinent to people today, some 44 years after Roe v. Wade, Dr. Groom?
Well, Jim, the difficulty with Roe v. Wade is that it put down no restrictions whatsoever. It set no limits. So theoretically, at least, it's possible to, if you were simply interpreting Roe v. Wade, to have an abortion as Trump caricatured in that end lasted the ninth month, if you could find a doctor willing to perform it. From my perspective, there has to be limits placed on it. Time limits, condition limits, and what have you. And that's the sentiment, that's the majority sentiment of our country. 60% of our people are in favor of some time limits, like we're confining it to within the first 20 weeks of a pregnancy. But in that essay that I wrote for the New York Times, I'm not even talking about limits. Even if people can't agree on the limits, surely we can agree to reduce it, to reduce the need for it. The Dutch have far less. They have only half of the abortion rate that we have. The Germans are the same. The Swedes. And it's all because they have more effective health care. They have more effective social services, giving prenatal and natal and postnatal care to poor couples or women who have an unplanned or unwanted pregnancy, and also aggressive programs to promote adoption as an alternative. So we can seriously reduce the number. Now, I think any person of goodwill has to be in favor of reducing the incidence of abortion in our country. I mean, who recommends this? Who thinks this is a deep moral problem, issue, and concern for people, for which I have the height of empathy. And indeed, I've worked with young people in my 40 years here at Boston College making this decision, and there was always a painful moral, spiritual decision, not simply a legal right that they were claiming. Now, most of them were glad that it's legal in our country.
Dr. Thomas Groom is with us. He came to this country from Ireland 45 years ago. He's taught at Boston College for four decades, and his op-ed piece of March 27th in the New York Times has created quite a reaction. To win again, Democrats must stop being the abortion party. He writes that last year's election was a watershed in this evolution. Hillary Clinton lost the overall Catholic vote by 7 points after President Obama had won it in the previous two elections. She lost the white Catholic vote by 23 points. In heavily Catholic states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, she lost by a hair, the last by less than 1%. A handful more of Catholic voters per parish in those states would have won her the election. And as noted, in Louisiana, a state that is almost one-third Roman Catholic, Donald Trump won the election here by 20 points, by almost 400,000 votes over Hillary Clinton in our state. Dr. Thomas Groom, what is the solution for the Democratic Party in this quandary? The party is on the record as being pro-choice, and it would seem that any nominee would almost certainly have to toe the line. And when that happens, is there any way out of this dilemma with Catholic voters?
Well, Jim, to begin with, the country has moved beyond Roe v. Wade. Like 2003, we have a federal law banning partial birth abortion. That was contested, and the Supreme Court deemed it constitutional in 2007. 43 states of our union have limits on abortion. So to just simply come out and say, I'm in favor of Roe v. Wade, is in a nuanced way, and without adding some conditions, as I say in my essay, that's like coming out to a group of Quakers and saying, I'm in favor of war, without even mentioning preconditions. At least to many evangelical Christian voters and to many traditional Catholic voters, hear that as just a kind of a blatant in your face. This is my position. Rightly or wrongly, most people associate Roe v. Wade as unlimited and unconditional abortion. And so when Donald Trump came out in that third debate and described it as ripping a baby out of a mother's womb at the end of the ninth month, that was the caricature that's dominant in people's minds. If the Democrats continue to be identified or associated with that kind of image, then they'll remain in the doldrums. They'll remain in the wasteland. And they will not improve their standing at the midterm elections, for example. And they have a better position to represent because, in fact, they favor better social services, and better social services always reduces the incidence of abortion. Women below the poverty line are 300% more likely to have abortions than women above it. In other words, poverty is a prime cause of abortion. So if you give good social services to people, it will reduce the number. And that was proven in President Obama's administrations. From 2009 to 2014, the abortion rate dropped 23%. And I imagine we don't have the statistics up to 2016, but I bet it dropped even more severely in the last 2 years because Obamacare, or the Affordable Care Act, was coming into force. So if as the Republicans, as President Trump did recently, he cut the availability of effective birth control to poor people, that will spike the abortion rate. Whereas to provide decent and effective birth control will reduce the abortion rate, which is a typical standard Democratic posture. So to me, in effect, pragmatically, Democrats are more pro-life, in effect. In other words, they're in favor of reducing the incidence of abortion, and yet they constantly allow themselves to be caricatured as being simply the abortion party. They have to stop doing that. They can stop doing that with integrity, I believe, and represent themselves more positively.
You note that about 80% of Americans don't want to criminalize abortion again, but at the same time, 60% of Americans oppose abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy, and it's a tricky issue. Donald Trump, in an interview with Maureen Dowd of the New York Times, declined to answer whether he had been responsible for any abortions during his dating days. Did Hillary Clinton miss an opportunity by not getting personal with Mr. Trump, or is that beyond the pale?
I would say that I hated it when he got that personal. I mean, when he started talking about President Clinton, Bill Clinton's affairs and this kind of thing, as if it was Hillary's fault, I found that so obnoxious and distasteful. So I wouldn't want Hillary to start accusing Donald Trump of encouraging his girlfriends to have abortions across the years, whether that be true or not. I think there's higher ground that she could have taken, and that she often did take. But in that particular moment of the third debate, she faltered. Even to come back and say, well, I'm still in favor of keeping it safe and legal, but I will work to make it all the rarer and all the less frequent in our country. And I will help reduce the number. I mean, as I said earlier in your first segment, what person of goodwill wouldn't be in favor of reducing, even if we can't agree about the limits that place upon it, at least we can agree to help reduce it.
All right. A listener asks if this is still a one-issue vote, one-issue voter calculus for some people.
I think for some, yeah, I would say it is. I think that have other issues besides. I think for a number of my evangelical friends, this is a non-negotiable issue. For many of my traditional Catholic friends, this is a non-negotiable issue. But again, at least speaking for my Catholic friends, if you say to us, I know many traditional Catholics who would say, well, I hate her position on abortion, especially how she talks about Roe v. Wade, but I love her position on immigration, on the health care, on the climate, on the environment, and so on and so on. And for those good reasons, I will vote for her. So there are lots of good Catholics who vote, but traditionally Catholics have voted Democrat, as they say in that essay. When I came here from Ireland 45 years ago, I asked an old cousin about voting, and he said Catholics always vote Democrat. And so, you know, I mean, I'd come from the Republic of Ireland, and so I was very familiar with Republican principles of local government and limited government and local autonomy and so on. But yet the social justice values of my Catholic faith swung me toward the Democrats because I saw them representing those social justice values much more effectively than the Republicans. But then, beginning about, well, certainly by 1990, well, by, certainly by the year 2000, that solid base of Catholic votes had eroded from the and had abandoned the Democratic Party. And I think at least one of the reasons was that overt, in-your-face, unconditional, brazen kind of, we support Roe v. Wade, without any nuance, without saying, mm-hmm. we will work to reduce the number.
We only have about a minute before we part company, Dr. Groom, but thank you for your time. And another listener asks whether Roe v. Wade's future, if it were overturned, would create a revolution in this country at the ballot box.
Well, who knows? I mean, we have overturned our previous rulings before. And maybe we need to start over. I don't know where I stand on that, to be honest with you. But certainly states can put limits on, conditions on, that it simply isn't at the end of the ninth month, and so on. So who knows what the future may hold in that regard.
Dr. Thomas Groom, hopefully we'll talk with you again soon, professor of religion and theology at Boston College, and it's been a pleasure, sir.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for having me.
We'll be back after this time out. And remember, if you're so inclined, give us a call at 855-893-WRKF and make your contribution in the spring drive. We're back after this time out with more Talk Louisiana.